The title of the message, The Excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ, or The Superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. It sets up Christ as superior to the old priesthood, the old covenant, to Moses, to all the Old Testament. Christ is superior. All the types that pointed to Him, He's their fulfillment. He is superior to all of them. The book of Hebrews sets forth the excellency of Jesus Christ. And we must see His excellency. We must see it. His superiority over all things. If we are to worship Him, if we are to give unto Him the glory that's due unto His name, we have to see Him for who He is, God manifested in the flesh. Now, the writer of this epistle, I think it was Paul, it's got his name there, but some think it's some others, but I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And he starts out here with God Almighty, who at sundry times and in diverse different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He begins with God, like Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Someone said true religion starts here with God. There is a true religion. It's a religion of grace. It's one of righteousness. And it sets forth, as we saw this morning, God in all His character. Also in the book of Genesis, it says that God spoke. And things happen. When God speaks, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. God never speaks idle words. I do. He doesn't. Jesus Christ never spoke an idle word. The Lord Jesus Christ is said to be the wisdom of God. And nothing came out of His mouth that was not infinite wisdom. Nothing. And when God spoke, things happened. He spoke on different days. God spoke on 6 days, and every day when God spoke, something else was revealed. Something else happened. And this is what happened when God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. Every time He spoke to them, every time He spoke by the prophets to the fathers, something else was revealed about Christ, another type, a picture, something else that pointed to the Messiah happened. God has never left Himself. He has never left His people without a witness concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and His redemptive work. He's never left us at all. But this also shows that the Old Testament scriptures are the Word of God. It was God speaking through the prophets. It was not them speaking on their own. It was God speaking through them. And that's how God does today. God speaks through His preacher to the people. He takes His preacher, puts him in a pulpit, opens His Word, then speaks to the people. If we are going to hear from God, we are going to hear from God through a man. Last week, we saw the eunuch. God told Philip, go down to the desert place. There's a man down there in a chariot reading the Word of God. And God sends His man down there to preach Christ to him. And that's the way it will be until God winds all this up. That's the way it'll be. You're going to hear from God. You're going to hear through a preacher. Now, how does God speak to us now? He spoke to the fathers, Paul said, by the prophets in different ways, at different times. But hath in these last days, now however long that's going to be, I don't know, but we are in the last days. There is no other revelation to be made. Jesus Christ is the revelation. He is the one. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son or in his Son. God, it says, was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. And by whom also he made the worlds. God the Father has never acted separately from his Son. He's never done that. He's never acted separately. God used frail, sinful men to speak in times past to the fathers. But now, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. By his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ is the final spokesman. There's no one else to come. We're not waiting on someone else to come and tell us something. This is it. You and I are in the last days, and Jesus Christ is the final spokesman. He is that prophet that Moses said should come. Look over in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, look in verse 22 and 23. Oh, I'm in John. Hold on a second. I'll get there. Acts chapter 3. And Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is that prophet, he is a messenger come from God, shall be destroyed from among the people. Jesus Christ is that prophet that Moses said should come and that we are to hear him. He is the Word of God incarnate. Christ, listen, Jesus Christ is the utterance of God. He's the utterance of God. Turn over to John chapter 1. Go over here in John chapter 1. Let me show this to you. He's the utterance of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Look in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the utterance of God. When our Lord came into this world, he said this, as I hear, I speak. The words that I speak are not mine, but his that sent me. He's the utterance of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is both the messenger and the message of the new covenant. As the messenger, he revealed the new covenant. He's the one who, the prophets of old, they would reveal parts, part here, part there. But when Christ came, he revealed the whole. He revealed the types, what they meant. Without Christ, we wouldn't know what they meant. He revealed what all the shadows and the types were. He's the messenger of the covenant, and he's the message also of the covenant. He's also the message. Christ is our message. Our message is Christ and him crucified. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, I'm determined not to know anything among you except this. We're going to get this settled first. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul is not saying that he wasn't interested in them, but he said, I want this established first. Who Christ is and what he did. Let's establish that first. Our Lord said this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. To learn of Christ is to learn the gospel. It's to know the gospel. It's to learn the new covenant. God said back in the Old Testament, I have given him as a covenant to the people. Our covenant, this new covenant of grace, is a person. It's a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is God's message to a dying world. Christ is God's message to sinners. He's the way to God. And he's the only way God can be a just God and a Savior. He's the only way that God can have anything to do with me and still be God, still remain God. He's the only way. Christ is the rightful heir of all things, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Jesus Christ is the appointed heir of everything that exists. Everything that exists, all things seen and unseen. There's a lot more going on unseen than what we see. There's a lot more going on. A whole lot more. But he's going to inherit that heaven, that new heaven, that new earth, the universe. All of it's his. It's all his. Do you know what he counts, though, as his most precious inheritance? You know what that is? You. It's you. You who believe the gospel. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. His chief glory of all that he will inherit, everything's his. God has given, turned everything over to him. And his chief glory is us. He's redeemed. It is redeemed. And then he tells us here, and it just keeps climbing. It just keeps climbing. Christ is the creator of all things. He's the heir of all things, and he's the creator of all that he's heirship to. He created everything that he will inherit. By whom also God made the worlds. The word world here means ages. Ages. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16. For by him, that is by Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. All things. Everything that you can see and the things we cannot see, They are held together. That word consist means held together by Him. He holds the stars in their place. He holds this earth in its place. Everything is held together by that man that is seated at God's right hand. Everything. God made everything that exists by Jesus Christ and then turned it over to Him as the mediator. As the mediator. And all things are ruled by Him. You think it looks chaotic out there? You turn on the news, does it look chaotic? Look like chaos going on there. That's orchestrated chaos by Him. He is manipulating, controlling absolutely everything to bring about the purpose of God in all this. In all this. And then we have His person here in verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory. The word brightness here means outshining. Outshining. It's like the rays of the sun. You know how they just shine out from the sun. Say, of the same nature as that sun. And the light just comes out from the sun. Jesus Christ is the outshining of God. He is the full expression of God. That's why He said, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. If you want to know who the Father is, study Christ. Know Christ. If you want to know who the Father is. He's the brightness of His glory. Of all the glory of God, Christ is the brightness of it. He's the chief end of it. As the sun is seen in its own light. You know, you can't see the sun but in its own light. That's how you see the sun. You see it in its own light. Even so, God is only seen in the light of Christ. Christ Himself said, I am the light. We saw in 1 John, God is light. Christ said, I am the light. The only way you and I will ever know God is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There is no other way to know God. There's no other way to see God except in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, there was the Shekinah glory that filled the inner sanctum of the tabernacle. Christ is that Shekinah glory. He's that shining. He's that outshining of God. And He says here, and the express image, He is the express image of His person. I was someplace here some time ago, and someone knew the family, and they saw me, was talking to me, and the lady said, she said, you have become the spitting image of your dad. See, you look just like your father. She said, it's amazing. No one has seen God at any time. It says in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. To look at Him is to look at God. It's to look God in the face. It's to see God. He's the visible expression of God Almighty. That's who He is. He is God in every way. He is God in His person. He is God in His attributes. He's the one true God of heaven and earth. He's no less God than God. He's no less God. It says in Colossians 2:9, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." All of God, all that God is in him. It's in this man, this one person. And because of who he is, he upholds all things, it says, by the word of his power. And upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, brethren, that's real power. That's real power. When you say something, and it happens. When you give a command, and it happens. That's power. He commands the demons to come out of a man, and he came out. He commands light, and there's light. He commands creation, and now we have all this. He commands the moon and the stars and puts them in their orbit and tells them to stay there. He commands the ocean. That hurricane that's going through right now, that's his. That's his hurricane. And he's sending it up the coast or up through Texas there. That's not Mother Nature. Nature does not have a mother. Nature has God. And Christ is directing that storm right up through there. It's his. He hath, it says in the scriptures, he hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. He's commanding it like a general. He's commanding it. He commands all his forces. Everything serves him. Absolutely everything serves him. He's the commander in chief. He really is. He's the captain of our salvation. And our captain is head of all this. And he's the one who's doing the commanding. He commands the troops. Back in Egypt, he commanded the plagues. Where's all those locusts coming from? They're coming from him. He's sending them. He's commanding them. He commanded the frogs to go all over that place. And lice, you go back and read all those plagues. They are under his command. This is our God. This is our Savior. You would think we wouldn't worry, wouldn't you? You'd think we wouldn't worry at all. Upholding all things by the word. By the word of his power. Oh, if we could get a hold of that. We think we have problems. He can just give a word. And I know that, Lord, you can just say the word. And I can be made whole. Just give a command. When they was going to take him there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, I could call 12 legions of angels. Our captain could call 12 legions of angels and wipe that place out. They are at his beck and command. Every angel. I mean, we're talking about numbers that can't be numbered here now. We can't number how many angels there are. Every last one of them is under the authority of Jesus Christ. Let all the angels of God worship him. Let every angel, Michael, Gabriel, bow down to him and do his bidding. And you know what? They're glad to do it. They're glad to do it. If he sent one angel down here to sweep the streets, and he sent an angel down here to sit on a throne, not one of them would be jealous of the other. They wouldn't be jealous of the other. They're doing their Lord's bidding. That one sweeping the street would not be offended at sweeping the streets while the other one is sitting on a throne. I can't wait till the day comes when we have that same attitude. Right now, we're so sinful. We get jealous. We get envious. Well, someday that'll be gone. Someday that'll be gone. This is in the present tense, and upholding. Upholding. All things. Bearing them up. Holding them up. He's commanding everything to do His will. God did not create, now listen, God did not create the world like a wind-up toy and then turn it loose. Let's see what happens. God created all things by His Word, that's His Son, and He turned it all over to Him to run moment by moment. Second by second, it's ran by Him. Aren't you glad He's on the throne? I'm not. You know, I get concerned about things when I see them on the news and the things that go on in this world we live in. But I'm telling you, I lay down at night and I go to sleep. I go to sleep. I know that He, the Scripture says, that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. So while I sleep, He's on watch. And can you think of any better person to be on watch than God Himself? David said, Thou only makest me to dwell in safety. Thou only makest me to dwell in safety. He's like a general commanding his troops, telling this one to do this one to do that, go here, come here. Oh, that's our Lord. In Daniel 4:35, listen, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven. So He's got an army with Him. I know that the United States has a great military might, but it would look like a pea shooter compared to what He's got. That's truth. That's the truth. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? Or what are you doing? He's like, I don't answer to you. How many times did they ask Him questions and He didn't give an answer? Pilate said, Don't you know I have the power? Because he wouldn't open his mouth and say anything. Don't you know I have the power to release you or crucify you? And that's when the Lord spoke. He said, Hold on now. Hold on now. You have no power at all except to be given to you from above. You can't even move your arm unless God gives you the strength to do it. You can't do it. Christ said, Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Like I said, what men call the laws of nature is nothing more than Christ commanding everything to work together for our good. All this that we see going on, it is actually working together for our good. It is. One writer said this, The universe derives its integrity from Jesus Christ. I thought that was good. It derives its integrity from the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have His work. We have His person. All things are created by Him, for Him. He's the Word of God. He's the expression of God. He's the utterance of God. And now, when He had by Himself purged our sins. Here is the heart of the gospel. It's the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. He purged our sins. Someone said he literally carried out a cleansing. He actually carried out a cleansing. He really and truly bore our sins in his body on the tree. He put them away. He put them away. The effect of his work was to remove all sin from us. All of it. To make us spotless. Unreprovable in his sight. Has he done that? Yes, he has. He has. If not, he would have never come out of that grave. He would have never come out of the grave. He is our substitute. He is the one who has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. It is his blood by which atonement has been made. Atonement has been made. Satisfaction has been made. I'm not trying to satisfy God. The Lord Jesus Christ did that for me. And note here, when he had, it says, by himself. This is one time he had to go it alone. This is one time he had to go it alone. It's written in the scriptures. He must tread the winepress of God's wrath alone. No man was with him. God forsook him. I'll never know. You who believe the gospel, we will never know ever what it is to be forsaken of God. No one ever died as alone as Jesus Christ. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm looking at why. And I'll not be forsaken because God forsook him who was my substitute. That's such good news. That's such good news. Augustus Toplady wrote, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite know? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. By himself. What a mighty Savior we have. Now, did he do it? Did he do it? Did he accomplish redemption? Well, it says here, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, in the Old Testament, the high priest never, ever sat down. You know why? Because they never, ever finished the work. It was never finished. But when Jesus Christ came, when he went to the cross, when he died, he cried right before then, it is finished. It's done. It's done. And having finished his work that he was sent to do, he sat down, and right now, the man Christ Jesus is enthroned on high. He's enthroned on high. The one who humbled himself to become a servant, to die on a cross, is now seated. The work is finished. That's why he says, come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The Lamb of God that hung on the cross is now enthroned at the right hand of the Majesty. Majesty. I just like to say that. Majesty. Your Majesty. On high. You know what that means? That means he got the job done. That's what it means. John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. It's done. The work is done. Redemption accomplished. Mission accomplished. That's what it was. Mission accomplished. If we can get a hold of this, it will comfort our hearts. It will assist us in worship. It will enable us to worship Him. It will enable us to give unto Him the glory due unto His name. We worship and trust an enthroned Christ. We worship the living Lord, not a dead one. Barnard said a dead Christ can't save anybody, but the living Lord can. He died, that's right, but He didn't stay dead. John said, I saw a lamb as it had been slain, standing right in the midst of the throne. He's alive and well. Jesus Christ is alive and well. He's no failure. I read that to you in Isaiah 44, or 42. My servant shall not fail. He came to redeem, and He redeemed. He came to save, He saves. He came to reveal the Father's been revealed. He got the job done. I pray that God will enable us, as time goes on, to see more and more of Christ's excellency, and that you and I will become more and more obsessed. I want to be obsessed with the Lord Jesus Christ, my God. My God and my Savior. Okay, Craig.